Amen. We're so grateful for who God is. We worship God for who He is. And, you know, we have to admit sometimes we do worship God for what He does for us. And we thank God for all the blessings and all the doors He opens and closes. But then it's just something special about just when you focus in on who God is. And we worship God, not for what He does. So sometimes we have to be careful. Make sure we worship God, yes, and be grateful for what He does. But then there's times if He doesn't do anything else, He's already done enough. And we worship God for who He is. Make a note, Jesus, Jehovah is God. So make a note, that's what Jesus means. As we're looking at the name, you should name, it's going to say you will name Him Jesus. You will have a son and name Him Jesus. Jehovah is God. So, and we talked about in the song, Jehovah Jireh, God, my provider. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that heals. Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord God is there. That's Jesus Christ. So I'm excited about the word. Can't wait to get into it. Let's have a few announcements and then we'll get into the word. Want to thank you for your giving. And if you're on your desktop, you just go to SouthBayALC.com, push the giving icon, give accordingly. If you're on your phone, SouthBayALC.com, push the three bars on the side, then go to the giving icon, give accordingly. If you are writing a check and you're mailing it in, and thank you so much for those of you give online and those of you that write your checks and mail them in. South Bay, SBALC, you can make it out to SBALC, 3553 Atlantic Avenue, Suite B-279, Long Beach, California, 90807. Make it payable to SBALC, address 3553 Atlantic Avenue, Suite B-279, Long Beach, California, 90807. Thank you so much for your giving. And then this week, with it being Christmas week, there will be no Bible study. Make a note, no Bible study this Wednesday night. Spend that time with your family. Be blessed. Don't eat too much, but have some nice food and be safe, be healthy. But spend that time with your family. When we do resume, will be the next Wednesday, which will be December 30th. And we will be in 1 Kings chapter 13. And I have to tell you, 1 Kings is one of the most powerful books in the Bible. It's relevant to what we're dealing with today. It is an amazing book. So please make a note of that. December 30th, 6:30 to 7:30. And we will be in 1 Kings chapter 13. And that's on the 30th. And then on the 31st, the next night is our end of the year celebration from 5 to 7. We'll be fellowshipping and just pretty much giving testimonies and thanking God for what He's done in this year, when most people might be complaining about this year. But when you look at what God has done, the spiritual growth that we were forced to have, it's been a great spiritually growing year. So I won't complain. So we will have our end of the year celebration on the 31st, and you will be receiving more information about that. And I want you to know that I'm really thankful for those of you that have been praying and fasting. We have our first meal after Sunday service. So continue that. God hasn't told us to stop that yet. So, I think it's critical. I think it's imperative that we continue to have our first meal after service, on Sunday. So I just want to thank you for those who've been praying and fasting, for guidance, for clarity, for peace, for deliverance, for salvation, for rededication, for family and friends and loved ones and coworkers and bosses. And with that being said, if you have any prayer requests, please send an email to life@southbayalc.com, life@southbayalc.com. Prayer requests, prayer needs, praise reports, please send that to us. And please give us the privilege to pray for you. Two things we've underestimated, and that's the power of prayer. Otherwise, we would do it more and complain less. And then number two, the power of the Holy Spirit, because we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, which changes our outlook, our attitude, in everything that we do when we understand that the power of God lives within us through His Holy Spirit. So let's get into the Word. Let's have a quick word of prayer. Then we'll get into the Word and see what God is speaking to our hearts this morning. Lord, we love you, we bless you, and we thank you. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It illuminates the way as we try our best to navigate through a dark, fallen, broken, dead, decaying, and dying world. Thank you for the blueprint. Thank you for the map. Thank you for the treasure that your word is, Lord. We love you, God. Thank you so much for the guide that it is, the guarantee that it is, guaranteed by God. We thank you that your word will never fade away. So we ask that you speak to us through your word now, Lord. We open our hearts and minds to receive what God is speaking to his body of believers this morning. Give us instruction, Lord. We don't want information, God. We want revelation. Give us revelation through your word that leads to transformation. Give us your wisdom so we can navigate life and have good success that the Bible speaks of. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, lead, guide, and teach. We need to hear from you this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Book of Matthew, chapter 1. We will pick up the birth of Christ at verse 18, Matthew 1 and 18. So just make a note, we start off with notes. Matthew is a Jew. He's writing to Jews about the King of Jews. So that's why it starts off with the lineage, and Matthew shows that Jesus Christ came from the seed of Abraham, and then he also came from the seed of David. So God's keeping the promise that he made to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. He's keeping the promise to David that his dominion would reign forever. And here it is, both of those are happening through Jesus Christ. So Matthew's making it plain to the Jewish leaders and the Jewish scholars that everything that the Torah, everything that the Old Testament talked about the Messiah is right here wrapped up into Jesus Christ. It's not a secret, it's not a surprise. This has been prophesied in the Jewish law hundreds of years, thousands of years before Mary conceives Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. So just make a note of that. And people want to argue about, well, we know that Christ wasn't born on December 25th. Who knows the day? We know this, that, but people want to make that an issue because they don't want to deal with God. So they look for little, for lack of a better word, they look for little stupid things to not fully commit or even to acknowledge Christ. But we do know that Christ was born. It wasn't December 25th, so let's get that out of the way. We do know that. But the fact is that Christ was born. And so the more important question is not when Christ was born, but more importantly, have you been born again? Based on John 3:3, Jesus said, if you must be born again, you must be generated from above if you are going to enter into the kingdom of God, into God's kingdom. So don't get caught up with people, arguing with people on the day that Christ was born. Ask them, have you been born again? That's the most important question that you can ask someone. And then if you really want to get technical, we do have the physical, we have the spiritual and the circumstantial evidence that points to the birth of Christ. Let me say it again. We have the physical. Those of us who've been to Israel, we've been to the empty tomb. We've been to the church where Christ was born at, where the manger was. There's a church there. I believe it's the Church of Nativity. We've been there. So the physical evidence of Christ being born is there. Been to the Sea of Galilee, to the Garden of Gethsemane, to the Pool of Bethesda. So the physical evidence is there. The spiritual evidence of changed lives that are being changed daily through the power of the Holy Spirit, that's there. And then the circumstantial evidence. Make a note of the circumstantial evidence. Those of us with a law enforcement background, we know that our law background, you know, somebody can get convicted on circumstantial evidence. You don't have to see them do it, but the circumstantial evidence points to them. And you say, Pastor, what is some of the circumstantial evidence that points to the birth of Christ? Well, number one, you had thousands of Jews, millions of Jews, thousands of Jews that used to go to temple, and now they all of a sudden overnight with the resurrection, they start going to church. They stopped doing circumcision, started doing the circumcision of the heart. They started doing baptisms. They started to take communion. The holy day shifted from Saturday to Sunday. And so you have all, what causes a whole generation and thousands of people to shift overnight? It's the resurrection of Jesus. Well, we have the circumstantial evidence that points to something happened, and that was the birth and death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the evidence is clear. Our commitment isn't, but the evidence is clear. And people will always do things to discount it because it's not about God. It's about them not wanting to, you know, step out of their arrogance and their pride and doing their own thing. But the evidence is there. I'm not going to go much deeper. I just wanted to give you the background on that and wanted to get to the birth of Christ. So make a note, the physical, the spiritual, the circumstantial evidence points to the fact that Jesus Christ was born. And we thank God for that. It is a historical fact that Christ was born and walked the earth. What you believe about Christ, that's your own personal belief. But when you do your research, you have to recognize that Jesus Christ is Lord. And we decree and declare this morning that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior to the glory of the Father. Matthew 1 and 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was like this. When as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged or betrothed or contracted to Joseph, before they were physically intimate, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit. Underline that. You know how problematic that is. You're engaged to someone. Come on, let's be real. Let's be honest. You're engaged to this man. Let me talk to the men. You're engaged to this lady. You've given your heart, your life, everything. You love her. And now she's pregnant and she's telling you that it's not yours. It's come from God. That's very problematic. And most men, you have to admit, it's OK. Honey, I love you, but you and the Holy Ghost pack your stuff and move on. Amen. So very, very problematic. And Joseph was no different. Joseph is saying, no, this is not going to happen like this. So she's making note, she's pregnant with the Holy Spirit, and we'll talk more about the power of the Holy Spirit. But just know that the Holy Spirit does signify, it's the person. It's the third person of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead. So when Jesus Christ is born, he's 100%, make a note, he's 100% God, but he's also 100% man. Because he comes from Mary, not the seed of Joseph, but from Mary, because as he's a baby, he's being nourished in the womb. He's connected to the placenta and her blood and everything. So that makes him 100% human. That's important. Because when Christ died, because he lived a sinless life, we were able to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ because he lived a sinless life. If he would have had the seed of Joseph, he would have been tainted. And then it was like I say all the time, we would try and get clean and dirty bath water, and it doesn't work like that. But here's the beauty of Jesus being 100% man. When we stand before God, we will not be able to tell God. He doesn't know what it's like to be tempted, to be frustrated, to be disappointed, to be distracted, to be beaten, to be betrayed. We will not be able to tell God that because he was 100% man. He had the ability to sin, but he didn't. He was tempted just like we are. Being tempted is not a sin. He was tempted by Satan three times when he came out of the desert after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights out of the wilderness. He was tempted. We get tempted. Being tempted is not a sin. It's when we carry it out. Jesus didn't carry it out. He knew what his mission was from God, but he had the opportunity. He had the capability. He had the ability to sin. So you're not going to stand in front of God and point your finger in God's face and say, where were you and why this and why that? Jesus went through it all the way to the death, beaten, betrayed, spit on, crown of thorns, put on that cross, crucified. He had to deal with doubt. I mean, he said, Father, if there's any, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's saying, Father, if there's any other way, if we don't have to do it like this. I mean, are you sure that I have to? He had uncertainty, he had doubts, because that was his humanity saying, man, I don't really want to get on that cross. But he said, nevertheless, God, not my will, but your will be done. You're not going to tell God he doesn't know what it's like to be human and walk on earth. That's why Christ came. That's why he saved us when he resurrected. And we will be without excuse when we stand before God. Because Jesus Christ, right here, when he's being born, he is God and he is man. And he understands. That's why he came from heaven to earth, so we could be rescued and delivered. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. It happened like this: when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, underline, he was a just man. He was an upright man. He had character. He had integrity. He was living right. He was right with himself. He was right with God. He was a just man. He did not want to make her a public example, so he thought about how to put her away privately. Underline that, man. He didn't want to make his wife a public embarrassment. He didn't want to bring her to shame in front of everybody. He didn't want to cause a scene. He didn't want to front her off. He didn't want to physically and emotionally abuse her and verbally abuse her. He was an upright man. So, man, make a note. You don't win anything by being physically or verbally abusive to someone that you say that you love. Here's Joseph. He was a just man. He treated this whole situation with love, with kindness, with mercy, with grace, with forgiveness. So he thought how he could just end this thing and move on, because he was a good man. Men, let's make sure that we're more than saying we're good men. Let's make sure it's more than just talk. Let's make action to show that we are truly who we say that we are. And we're committed to God. We're practicing Christians. We're trying our best to be the good men that God has called us to be. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream and saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take unto you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. That the child she is carrying is of the Holy Spirit. Make a note. Instead of Joseph going off, he didn't call people and start talking about his wife. He didn't start cursing and fussing. He spent some quiet time. So make a note. When you're going through a situation, I mean, this is a tough situation. Uncertainty, confusion, desperation, despondent, depressed. He pauses. Don't overreact, family. Pause. The best gift you can give yourself and others during this Christmas season is the gift of calming down and having quiet time with God. When he had that quiet time with God, then God was able to speak in the midst of one of the most craziest situations he had to ever deal with, that his wife to be is pregnant and she's trying to tell him it's a God thing. He took time. So make a note. Here's another beautiful thing. God speaks. God speaks even in the midst of uncertainty. Hear what I'm saying, family. Hear what the word is saying. In a situation like we're in now, in the midst of a pandemic, in the midst of everything just seeming like it's unraveling, God speaks in the midst of uncertainty. God speaks in the midst of confusion. God speaks in the midst of desperation. God speaks in the midst of anxiety and depression. Calm down. Don't overreact. Sit. Be quiet and let God speak to your heart. That's what Joseph did. Then God was able to speak to him. When we overreact, when we call people, when we start complaining and we start going off and we start cussing and fussing and acting a fool, God's trying to speak, but we're acting such a fool. God can't. We can't hear God. And in the midst of God speaking, God speaks in each and every situation. Even this tough situation, God is speaking to Joseph's heart. Even in the midst of your situation, what you're dealing with now, if you be quiet, that's why I'm an advocate for quiet time with God every morning. Every day, you got to have that quiet, private time with God. Otherwise, you never hear what God is speaking. There's so much noise, so much confusion, so many distractions. You have to have some quiet time in the midst of everything. In the midst of the good times, it's called being grateful and being thankful. Have quiet time. God, how do you want me to proceed with this? God, who can I serve? God, how can I be a blessing to someone else? In the midst of success, in the midst of failure, calm down. Don't overreact. Have your quiet time and let God speak to your heart. So Joseph calms down in verse 20. Look what it says. While he thought, while he considered, while he pondered, sit down, be quiet, consult God. What do I do before you fly off the handle? That's what a good person does. It says Joseph was a good man, upright man. You're a good man, a good woman. And this is what you do. Calm down and listen to God. That's your first step. Don't go off. Don't go off on your boss. Don't go off on your employees. Don't go off on your neighbor. Don't go off on your spouse. Don't go off on your kids. Don't go off on your parents. Calm down and listen to God. While he did that, look what the first thing he told him. He said, don't be afraid. He said, fear not. Because most people are driven by fear. And fear is just you always think about what's the most negative thing that can happen in this situation. And Joseph, the angel of the Lord knew that Joseph was afraid. What is he afraid of? Just like us. What are people going to say? What are people going to think? They're going to look at me. They're going to talk about me. They're going to say this. They're going to say, so I don't know what to do because I'm so afraid to do anything because of what people are going to think. God, deliver us this morning from the opinions of other people. Walking around in fear. What's the worst thing could happen? God is saying, no, I need you to walk in faith, which is to trust God. So either right now we're walking by faith or we're walking by fear. And that's between you and God. And what are you afraid of? Why is it you can't trust God for once in your life, 100% give your heart, give your life, give your strength to Jesus Christ? That's what God is saying. That's the best gift you could give yourself and the world this morning and your family, that you stop being so afraid of everything and start walking by faith and trust God for once in your life. Going into the new year, matter of fact, don't wait till the new year. Start today. God, help me to trust you right now, with this situation, with that situation. First thing he told him, is that interesting? He said, Joseph, don't be afraid. God, deliver us from the opinions of other people. They're going to call me a fool. They're going to call me an idiot. They're going to ridicule me. They're going to shame me. They're going to look and sneer and jeer. God is saying, don't be afraid. You can't get into what other people are thinking, but God is saying, you got to trust me. I will lead. I will guide you. I will direct you. He said, that thing which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So make a note of that. Let's look at the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's look what the Holy Spirit does for us. Let's turn quickly to 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 John 5 and 7. Look at the Holy Spirit. Look at what's inside of Mary. And then at the same time in Acts 1 and 8, Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit is going to fill us. He told us that again in the book of John. When we receive Christ into our heart, the Holy Spirit comes too, because it's the third person of the Godhead. It's one and the same. So we have that same power. In the scriptures, it talks about the power that God used to raise Christ from the dead is in us. That's the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, family, as I'm studying this, God says that, number one, we take prayer for granted. And then number two, we take the Holy Spirit for granted. In the book of Ephesians, believe it's 4:30, it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't stress out the Holy Spirit. You can stress the Holy Spirit out because God is saying, don't do it. The Holy Spirit is talking to you. The difference is your conscience comes from you. The Holy Spirit comes from God. So you got to pause and say, Lord, what are you speaking to me? And be led by the Holy Spirit. Don't be led by your conscience, because the conscience comes from you and that can get real, real messy. But the Holy Spirit will never steer you wrong. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't stress the Holy Spirit out, because the Holy Spirit is saying, calm down. And your flesh is saying, get angry. And you don't listen to the Holy Spirit. You do what your flesh says and it never ends right. in the book of Acts chapter 5, it told Ananias and Sapphira, why have you done this and lied to the Holy Spirit? You're not lying to man. You're lying to the Holy. You can lie to it because it's a person. It's the third person of the Godhead. Make a note of it. And that lives in us. So I say, don't stress out the Holy Spirit. Don't lie to the Holy Spirit. You're not lying to someone. You're lying to the Holy Spirit. If you're a child of God and the Holy Spirit dwells in you, every time you and I lie, we got to be real with that. We're lying to God because the Holy Spirit dwells in us. That's why we got to confess and repent and forsake and be practicing Christians. God's not looking for perfection, but God is looking for loyalty and for you and I to practice each day being a Christian. 1 John 5 and 7, it says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. That's the Trinity right there. It's a power. So God is saying there's three that bear record in heaven. The Word is saying the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. So when Mary's impregnated with the Holy Spirit, that's God inside of her. That's Jesus Christ inside of her. Jesus Christ is God because he's the second person of the Holy Spirit, of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. It's right here in the scriptures. And we can go through the scriptures and it talks about the Trinity throughout the scriptures. Even in the Old Testament, the Trinity is apparent in the Old Testament. That's what's inside of her. That's what's inside of us. That's why in Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Why? Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Family, make a note. We underestimate prayer and we underestimate the power of prayer and we underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll live a defeated lifestyle because we think that we have no power and things just happen to us. But within us, we got the power of God, but we don't tap into it. Mm. Look at let's stay in 1 John chapter 5. And let's look at the beauty of God. Look at verse 11. 1 John 5 and 11. And this is the record. This is a guarantee. This is a testimony that God has given us eternal life in paradise. And this is life in his son, Jesus Christ. This is a testimony. This is a record. This is the beauty. This is a miracle of Christmas. This is a miracle of Christ being born, dying and resurrecting for us. Let me read it again. And this is a record, the testimony, the guarantee that God has given us eternal life. That's life in paradise. Just like he told the thief on the cross, today you'll be with me in paradise. And this life is in his son, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12. He that has the son has life, and he that does not have the son does not have the son of God does not have life. The person that has Christ in their heart has life, eternal life, life in paradise with Christ. And the person that does not have the Son of God in his heart or in his life does not have it. It's simple. You can argue with God's word. I'm just reading the word. I'm just a messenger this morning. I told you, I'm not a politician. I'm not someone trying to win an office. I got to teach the word. You argue with the word. Look at verse 13. John is saying, these things have I written unto you that believe or that trust on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, underline, you may know, you can be assured that you have life in paradise and that you may trust on the name of the Son of God, which is Jesus Christ. Underline that, put a star by it. When people ask you, well, you say, what does that mean? Well, I just have life with Christ in paradise forever, now and forever. It's not when we get there, it's right now, because Christ is in us. That's what it means, and that's what the scriptures teach. That's what it means to be saved. That's what it means to be rescued. The word says that Christ has come to give us life and that more abundantly. That's what I have in Jesus Christ. Not in stuff, not in the title, but in the Son of God. And Jesus was born so that we could have life in paradise through Jesus Christ. Let's go back to Matthew. So make a note of the Holy Spirit. I love God. I love the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God that teaches us if we allow the person of the Holy Spirit to teach and to lead and guide us. Giving your heart and life to Christ is the gift that keeps on giving. It's the gift that keeps on giving. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son. Thank God for the mothers, because he couldn't have been born without a mother. Thank God for Mother Mary. And she shall bring forth a son, and you should call his name Jesus. Jehovah is God. Make a note of that. Jesus, Joshua, Yeshua, Jehovah is God. That's what his name means. He's the Savior. He's salvation. That's what the name Jesus Christ means. Underline that, put a star by it. And he shall save his people from their sins. We got to be saved from our sins. We all have them. We were born into it. We were born into it because of Adam. People want to be upset with Adam because he and Eve ate the fruit and we were cast into sin. Don't be upset with Adam. Be grateful for Jesus Christ, because through Jesus Christ, now we have eternal life in Christ with God. So don't be upset with Adam. Be thankful for Jesus Christ. Shift your thinking. Shift your attitude. What are you upset with Adam for? He did what he did. Now it's your choice to do what God's called you to do. Give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. That's what the whole Christmas message is about. She shall bring, verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled. Underline fulfilled. Jesus Christ fulfilled. Jesus Christ completed the mission that the prophets had written about in the Old Testament, in the Torah, in the law, the books of Moses. Jesus and the prophets, Jesus just fulfilled scripture. This is, family, this is no secret. This whole Bible right here is no secret. We're going to look at Isaiah in just a minute. Isaiah was written 700 to 800 years before Christ was born. Prophesies that a virgin shall have a child, shall save their people from their sins. 700, 800 years before he was born, it was written about. How did the prophet know? Because God told him. And then Jesus Christ was born. We celebrate Christmas, celebrate the life of Christ every day. He was born over 2,020 years ago. And it's been written about. So make a note also that Joseph is still having his quiet time, whether he's daydreaming, because he's sitting thinking. So he's daydreaming while he's sitting and thinking. It's not necessarily sleep in a bed. Look, the angel is telling him, the messenger, a word for an angel is in this context is just a messenger. The messenger's telling him. The messenger, the angel sent by God, the messenger is telling him that this is just the fulfillment of scripture. It's already been written about. Verse 22, he says, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Okay, so let's see what the law says. Let's look at Isaiah. Let's turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14. Family, you need to see this for yourself. That's why I'm asking you to turn there. You should always have your physical Bible as you're studying. And you want to highlight these things so you can go back to them and make sure that pastor is keeping them in the right context. That pastor's not taking scriptures out of context. I'm not. This is what the word is teaching us this morning. Isaiah 7:14. And then we'll look at Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. But let's look at Isaiah 7, 14. Make a note. This was written 700 years, 800 years before Christ was. How does Isaiah know? Because God is telling him. Isaiah is a prophet, and he's telling God's people. Verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself. Oh, my gosh. Make a note of that. The Lord himself, we're talking about the Trinity right now, because the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. It's already been written about. This is no secret. This is not a surprise. This has been written. Look at Isaiah 9, verse 6. The birth of Christ has been prophesied, and in God delivered. Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Underline this. His name is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So you talk about the Trinity right there. How is the child called the Everlasting Father? Why? Because it's part of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's no difference. That's the miracle of it. Make no mistake, this is a miracle. Jesus Christ being born is a miracle from God. We underestimate this miracle from God. Of course we can't understand it in the natural. It's God's salvation plan. The Bible is clear. Our thoughts are not God's thoughts. Our ways are not God's ways. As far as the heaven is above the earth are God's thoughts, then our thoughts and God's ways, then God's ways. We're not on the same level as God. It's very clear in the book of Isaiah. In the book of Psalms 145 and 3, it says God's greatness is beyond understanding. You can't understand God's greatness. Accept and receive the miracle of God. And live a godly, practice a godly life every day. That's what Christmas is about. Love, forgiveness, kindness, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance, self-control. All those things is what the Holy Spirit does for us. Live a life of Christ, practicing godly principles of Christ every day. And the Holy Spirit gives you the power to do it. Underline that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And trust me, if you don't live in peace with the Prince of Peace, the world wants to tell you that you're going to rest in peace. That's politically correct. Everybody want to RIP, that's politically correct. I'm called to be biblically correct. The word says, if you don't have the Prince of Peace, you're not going to rest in peace. And that's what the word says. Argue with the word. Because Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, underline that, thank you, Lord, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. The throne of David. That's why Matthew started off with the genealogy in Matthew 1, because the Prince of Peace comes through the lineage of David. And he had to make that clear. He's a Jew writing to Jews, talking about the Jewish King of Kings, the Jewish Messiah, which is Jesus Christ, which is right here in the Jewish law, the Torah. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it, with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever, the zeal, the love, the passion of the Lord of hosts will perform it. The Lord of service will make sure that this happens. It is a guarantee that a child is going to be born of a virgin, and will deliver his people from their sins. It's already been written. Let's go back to Matthew and let's finish it up this morning. Back to Matthew 1 and 23. Family, this is, sometimes we want to complicate this Christian walk. We want to complicate life. It's really simple. Either receive Christ or you reject Christ. And that's, everything else is an illusion. Everything else is a mirage and a distraction. And here's what's really real right here, that Jesus Christ was born so he could save mankind, not just the Jews, because Jesus Christ, he crossed all social norms, broke all racial barriers, and he came to save mankind from their sin, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10 and 13. And so everything else is just a distraction, an illusion to keep you from seeing the clarity of the scriptures and what God has done for you and I. And it's already been written. And it's very clear. Verse 23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Verse 24, Joseph, then being raised up from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had told him. Make a note, Joseph got up and was obedient. He could have got up and said, you know what, I still ain't marrying her. I still ain't doing it. I don't care. I don't believe it. He could have got up like most folks who hear the word of God and say, so what, I'm going to still do my own thing. Because it's a choice. God's not going to force you. The Holy Spirit's not going to force you. You have to receive, embrace and receive our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's your choice. But Joseph got up and he did as the angel of the Lord had told him to. And he took Mary to be his wife. He wasn't afraid anymore. He said, I can do this. Why? Because I can do all things because God has spoken to me and I'm going to be obedient. He was already an upright man. He had integrity. He had character. He loved God. God spoke and he was obedient. Make a note, family. Be obedient to the voice of God. Be obedient to the word of God. He got up and he did it. I love this. And don't miss this other point either. He did what the angel had told him. He took unto him Mary his wife. Verse 25. And he did not sleep with her. They weren't physically intimate until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And what did they do? They called his name Jesus. Jehovah is God. He's the Savior. He was the firstborn. Make a note, because sometimes people forget this, that Jesus had brothers and sisters. So make a note, Joseph. So technically, Joseph was Jesus' stepfather. He was a stepdad. So we see right here, amen, we see right here that Joseph and Jesus was part of a blended family. And you make a note, because there are blended families out there. Joseph didn't treat Jesus any differently. Somebody say amen. Joseph didn't treat Jesus any differently than he did his other kids. He didn't discriminate because he was part of a blended family. He didn't discriminate because they had different fathers and he wasn't the father. Hear me, stepfathers. Hear me, stepmoms. Don't you discriminate. We see that God blessed this family, a blended family. God blesses blended families. God was a part of a blended family. So make a note. Stop making excuses and love and embrace your family. Blended or not, love and embrace your family. Jesus was a part of a blended family. Make a note, especially during this Christmas season. Your family is a gift from God. Blended or not, God doesn't discriminate. I love God because God doesn't discriminate. We do, God doesn't. Even with families that are blended, God said, we don't discriminate. And he set the model right here, even with Jesus Christ. Let's make this thing real. Stop making excuses. Embrace your blended family. It is what it is. You're right where God wants you to be. Stop making excuses and recognize what your blended family is. It's a gift from God. And love it just like you would if it was your own. And stop making excuses and stop looking for a way out. Be obedient for once in your life to God. And we see it right here in the Word of God. Let's finish this up. Let's go to Matthew. Just turn the page to 2. I had to turn my page. Yours might be on the same page. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, underline that Jesus was born. Now he's born. It didn't say a day, so don't get caught up in a date. Just make a note of the fact that Jesus Christ was born. Just like God said he would be. All the evidence is still there. If you really want to know, you'll do what you have to do, and you take that trip to Israel, and you'd see all the evidence. If you really want to know, if you really want to do your research, if you're really interested in serving and seeking God, stop making excuses. The circumstantial, the physical, the spiritual evidence is all around us. This morning, we're inside a church, broadcasting, live stream from a church. Why? Because Jesus Christ resurrected. And the church was born 2,020 years ago. That's the evidence right there. When I was studying in Israel, when I was studying in Egypt, you'd be amazed at how many churches there are in Egypt. Why? Because Saint Mark came over in 32 AD and preached the gospel. And they built churches and they established churches there. And the churches are still there. And in the 4th century, they were officially a Christian nation. Egypt was. Islam didn't come to 629. They were officially a Christian nation 220 29 years before Islam even started, they were already Christians. Thousands of years before the slave trade, they were already Christians. The evidence is all throughout Egypt and the Middle East and other parts of Africa. If you really want to know, you do your research and stop making excuses. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east. They had to go and seek Christ. And make a note, when they say wise men, these were teachers, these were doctors. Check this out. They said they were even astrologers, magicians, and sorcerers. They came to see the real king. Make a note of that. Because they know they didn't just want to find out about the stars. They came to the one who created the stars. Get rid of that satanic horoscope. Living your life by that. Live your life by the word of God. Here's the sorcerers and the magicians and the astrologers coming to see the king because they know that their stuff is only temporary and it's counterfeit. They're tired of the false gods. They go and see the real king. Make a note of it, teachers and doctors. We teach, but what do we know? God's word is the ultimate teacher, a doctor. Doctors prescribe medicine. God heals. So they went to see Jesus Christ. So make a note of it. Get rid of the false gods and the idols that you think are teaching you. Get to the word of God. Verse 2, saying, where is he that is king of the Jews? Underline that. They came. For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come, underline that, to worship him. They came to worship Jesus. Here's people who have titles. Here's people who are doctors and teachers and specialists in foolishness. But they said, "We, you know what, I'm putting away the foolish things." I think Paul says in Corinthians, when I was a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, it's in 1 Corinthians 13, I put away childish things. When I became a man, I put away childish things. Here's these wise men, these wise people, showing how wise they are, knowing that this temporary stuff that they're involved with at some point is going to fade away. Let me say that again. We would be wise to acknowledge that the temporary stuff that we're involved in, good, bad, or ugly, eventually it fades away. And we need to be wise enough to go and find the King of Kings and worship him. Enjoy, appreciate stuff, yes, amen. But worship nothing but the King of Kings. Let me say it again. Enjoy, appreciate stuff, amen. Enjoy it, be blessed with the right attitude, with the Spirit of God, with the love of God, with the humility of God, with the servanthood of God. Enjoy everything that God has given us. Folks, we're only here for a moment. The Bible says our life is like a shadow. Then it also says our life is like a vapor. It just appears for a little while, then it's gone. Enjoy everything God has given you and appreciate it. Appreciate the people that you still have in your life. If nothing else, this year has taught me, man, I've lost 6-7 people that I knew and loved and appreciated. It's just gone. But God is always teaching in the midst. Appreciate what you have. Don't waste time on stupid stuff. Appreciate people. Love your wife. Love your kids. Show grace. Show mercy. Show kindness. Because this stuff is going to time out and expire. Appreciate it. Enjoy it as best you can. Sometimes it's like trying to hold sand in your hands. You just wish you could pause and hold it as long as, but that's not the way it's set up. Another day goes by, we get closer and closer to Christ returning or us expiring. When you were born, you weren't growing up. When you were born, it started counting down. Your time is limited. We're growing up. No, you're not. The clock is ticking to when you and I expire. Love and appreciate stuff, especially those. This is a Christmas message. Love and appreciate what you have and what God has given you and the people in your life. But worship Jesus Christ only. Be wise enough. Be astute enough to worship Jesus Christ only. That's what this Christmas message is about. Do your research. Jesus Christ is alive and well. He lives inside of us. He's in the right hand of the Father right now praying that we understand how much he loves us, how much he cared for us, how much he sacrificed on that cross so that we could be free. And that he's praying that we would commit our life to Christ today, this morning. Let me finish. We're finishing up. Verse 3. When Herod the king heard of these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Only time you're troubled about Christ is when you don't want to, when you want to reject Christ. He was troubled because his pride, his arrogance, and his sin caused him to reject Christ. That's why he was troubled. Because the King of Kings was coming that deserved worship. He was a king, but he wasn't the King of Kings. So he was troubled because he couldn't humble himself and receive Christ. It's the only time you're troubled about God, because you want to do your own thing, and your pride and your arrogance and your sin keeps you disconnected from God. So we have the option this morning. We have the choice, the opportunity. Either we receive or reject Christ, and that's it. Make a note, there is no name greater than the name of Jesus Christ. On earth, above earth in the heavens, or below, beneath the earth, there is no name. Jesus Christ is the standard. Jesus Christ is Jehovah God. Jesus Christ is the Savior, Yeshua, Jehovah. Some people say there's no J in the Jewish language, in the Hebrew language. We get that. Jesus, Jehovah, Yeshua. It's the same thing. He is God right here. And he saved people. He saved mankind from their sins, those who received him. So either you'll worship Christ or you'll reject Christ, and you'll be troubled. Even when you think you have it going on, you'll be troubled. If you live long enough, you'll meet people who are very successful and will tell you that once they got something, they thought they would be something. Then they got the car, then they got the house, then they got the boat because everybody else had a boat. Then they needed a Ferrari and a Bugatti and a Maybach and all. And they got those things, and it was just emptiness after emptiness. Then they got the jet, then they got this, and they got and they're still searching because this stuff is empty. When you think it makes you something, make a note of this. In Psalms 139, the Bible says, before we were born, God knew us. God is saying, before you were anything, I'd already made you something. Let me say it again, family. God says, before you were anything, I'd already made you something. See, Adam and Eve got tricked. Satan said, you'll be like God, but they didn't realize they were already like God. Because in Genesis 1:26, God said, let us. Who is he talking to? Us. Look for yourself. Genesis 1:26. God says, let us make mankind in our own image. Us. Yes. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So they were already made like God. And Satan can trick them and say, you'll be like God, but they were already like God. God's telling us this morning, we are already something. You don't have to do something to be something. Before you were born, God already made you something. And so then here's the choice this morning. Two options as we finish the year. And it starts right now. Don't wait till the new year. Receive and worship Christ. Or reject Christ and be troubled in this dying and deceiving and decaying world. Make a note. Merry Christmas. The choice is yours. Make a note. Here's your two options. The gift or the guilt. The Lord or the load, the heavy load. The king or condemnation. The peace or the pressure. The Savior or the sin. Let me say it again. It's our choice this morning. The gift or the guilt. The Lord or the load. The king or the condemnation. The peace, the Prince of Peace, or the pressure, the Savior, or the sin. Let us go on and pray. Lord, we thank you, we love you, we bless you for your message this morning, God. As we worship the song, we love you just for who you are. You're Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, God who provides, the God of peace. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God that heals. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord God that is there. We worship you just because of who you are. Oh, but we're grateful and thankful for what you do for us. But right now, we want to pause and just thank you for who you are. Thank you for making the sacrifice, sending your son, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you for leaving heaven and coming down to earth to be born of a woman and to deal with all the pressures of life and overcoming, showing us that we can overcome. And then you resurrected and you gave us life in paradise through your blood that was shed on the cross. So we could stop treading water in the sewer and we can stop trying to get clean in dirty bath water. We receive you as our Lord and Savior. And that covered our sins for us. So we have the option this morning to receive or reject the greatest gift ever. The gift that keeps on giving is a surrendered life to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That gift has been giving eternal life and transforming life for the last 2020 years. Thank you, Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should trust in him should not perish, but have everlasting life in paradise with Jesus Christ. Thank you for your gift of your son, Jesus Christ. We receive it now, Lord. We thank you for it. Let us practice being Christians daily, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the goodness, the meekness, the self-control that you've given us, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Lord, for our sins. Forgive us for underestimating the power of prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. And as we're spending time with family and friends, whether we're calling or in person, God, let us be sure and share the goodness of God, the kindness of God. Serve someone. Speak kind words to someone. Let us be upright as we follow Christ. Let us demonstrate it through our actions, like Joseph demonstrated towards his wife and his stepson and his children. We love you, Lord. We bless you and we ask that you bless us this morning. Bless us, Lord, to be transformed and live an obedient life in Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe you've tuned in. Maybe someone invited you to the Zoom. Maybe someone pushed the share button on Facebook and you're here. You say, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I thought it was just a story. I didn't realize that it's so much evidence that points to the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my Lord and Savior this morning. That's the greatest gift you could give yourself. And it's the gift that keeps giving and the greatest gift you can give your family, because it's a transformed life and it changes everything. Jesus Christ is the ultimate game changer. And not just the game changer, but the transformer. It transforms hearts and minds. God, thank you. It's as simple as this. The word says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10 and 13, that's the word of God, guaranteed by God. As we're going through the Old Testament, we see so many guarantees by God that are coming to fruition. Everything God promised them is happening. Now God promises us in the New Testament, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, whosoever shall receive Christ into their heart shall be saved. It's a guarantee. The same God. But we're in the New Testament, it's a different guarantee. We're rescued, we're saved, we're delivered. We have eternal life with Christ. It's as simple as saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Live inside of me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for shedding your blood for me. I thank you, Lord, that you were born. I thank you, Lord, that you lived. And I thank you that you died. But more importantly, Lord, I thank you that you resurrected on that third day to show that you have all authority in heaven, earth, above and beneath. So right now, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart. as my Lord and Savior. Take over my life and help me to be the person that you created me to be. I receive you now, Lord, as my personal Lord and Savior. Empower me with your Holy Spirit so I can live for you. Thank you, Lord, for life and life more abundantly. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, please send the email to life@southbayaoc.com. I'd love to get you some information and some scriptures that just reinforce, scriptures that will reinforce your decision that you've just made for Jesus Christ. I want to remind you that there's no Bible study this week. Spend that time with your family. Live the word this Wednesday night. Live the word this Wednesday night. Show love, show kindness, show grace, show mercy. Be a servant, help out, wash the dishes, cook something, clean up, do something, but show love to your family with the right heart, the right attitude, the right mindset. Do that this Wednesday night. Live the word of God this Wednesday. And then next Wednesday, the 30th, we'll be in 1 Kings chapter 13. Then I want to thank you so much for your giving. It allows us just to live stream, to get this word out, to teach people the word of God, about the word of God, which is Jesus Christ. There's three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Ha! We're going to keep teaching the word. So thank you for your giving. Make a note also, December 31st, Thursday from 5 to 7, our end of the year celebration. I'll be contacting some of you on Facebook and asking if you would like to share what God has done in your life this year. And I'm hoping you would share at our end of the year celebration how God has moved in your life, how people are trying to say things about 2020, but for some of us, it amounted to a serious spiritual growth and commitment to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we want to share that testimony. It'll be really quick. We're not going to put you on the spot. But make a note, that's December 31st from 5 to 7. And then, family, make a note, we'll be praying and fasting every Sunday morning. We'll have our meal after service, our first meal after service. God, heal, deliver, set free. In the name of Jesus, we're praying for our family, our friends, our loved ones. Want to thank you for joining us this morning. The choice is yours. The gift or the guilt, the Lord or the load, the King or the condemnation, the Prince of Peace or the pressure, the Savior or the sin. Make Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior today. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you've come to give us life and that more abundantly. Thank you for the abundant, extraordinary life that we have in Jesus Christ. Pray that we all have a blessed and safe Christmas, which is every day, Lord. May we show the love of Christ with our family, not only on Christmas Day, but every day. Lord, may we share the love of Christ through servanthood, through serving others, through humility, through forgiveness. May we show that not only on Christmas Day, but every day. May we truly become practicing Christians. Not just in theory, but in daily practice, Lord. And we know that you send opportunities every day for us to practice the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that, Lord, for growing us up and maturing us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you, family. Have a great Christmas. Lord willing, we'll get together next Sunday. Be blessed. Continue practicing the walk of faith. Amen. Love you and Merry Christmas.